This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Glorious Wednesday here. Wrestling Wednesday. How's everybody doing? We all good?
Doing good.
NFL's getting drunk.
Good NFL, God, they're busy today.
The league new year doesn't start for another week, and here we are with a flurry of moves. Russ update was just basically your NFL
Shrounded.
Contract bonanza. We're going to talk a lot of NFL today. We'll get to that. Seahawks might be in the market for a receiver.
They have done.
No.
They still got JSN.
Yeah. They got Jackson Smith and Jigbo at a breakout season.
Yeah. Jake Bobo still there?
Yeah, he's never leaving, man. Mm. It was Bobo season. Let's go, baby. Baby Bobo. But you got to have another. And yeah, they got Jake Bobo, Cody White.
Go on, sell me. Sell me.
Noah Fant playing tight end. Don't do that to Noah Fant. That's rude. Noah Fant is a quality. He's a quality tight end. Ooh, out here catching buzzer strays from Jeff Rust. How dare you? But yeah, we got a lot that we need to get to. And look, you know who's probably the most happy with all of this Seahawks flurry of news today?
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Mariners. We will discuss the Seattle Mariners today. We don't talk a lot of baseball, even though it is spring training season. Holy guacamole, Justin Turner, former Mariner, unloaded on the Mariners to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today. And I think it's all fair. I think it's everything he said was fair. And it wasn't like anything that was, he was very critical. But when we get to the comments of Justin Turner, I don't think there's a Mariner fan out there that's going to be like, yeah, I disagree with that. It all was fair game in everything that he said. So we're gonna go ahead and discuss that today. Blazers play the Celtics. That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
All of a sudden, we got a full show, and KD is fighting with his coaches again.
So yeah.
So it's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. I'm watching. I turned on last night. Have you watched any of the Running Point show on Netflix?
No.
You know what it is?
No. What is that?
It is the Mindy Kaling from The Office.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know her? She has this new show on Netflix. Kate Hudson is the star.
Okay.
She is playing. Now, this is not her name in the show, but she's playing Jeannie Buss. It's about
oh,
it's about
yeah.
a professional basketball team called the Los Angeles Waves.
Yes, I know of it. I just haven't seen it.
It's a comedy. But if you know anything about the Lakers, you're going,
they're a comedy.
This makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it is, two episodes in. It's actually pretty funny. It's pretty good because it just highlights and they never bring up the Buss family. This is 100% the Buss family. But because there's dad dies, he runs the team and the team is left to the kids. And the first son takes the team over and turns out he's addicted to crack. Not directly related to the Buss family, but son takes over. He does a terrible job with it. Daughter takes over. Right? So, I don't know. That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, she ran her other brother out of town.
Yeah.
Speaking of, not to dive into all this too much.
Yeah.
Did you see the Shams interview with Jeannie Buss? What she said?
No.
About the Luka trade?
No.
This is a
actually,
quote.
As you said that, that just popped up on my Twitter feed.
This is a quote that came from Jeannie Buss about the Luka trade. They got what they were looking for. We got what we were looking for. And I didn't realize it was going to be international news like it was, but that's the power of the Laker brand and its ability to draw big names who want to write their own chapter in Lakers history. Speaking of writing your own chapters of history, none of that is factually true. Luka Doncic had no desire to be a Laker. He wanted to be a lifetime Maverick. He's still pissed that he's not a lifetime Maverick. Like, the whole idea, this is like saying that Kobe Bryant decided to join the Lakers. No, the Charlotte Hornets traded him. He was the 13th pick in the draft. They traded him for Vlade Divac and some spare parts. The Laker brand had nothing to do with it. That, like, that's the whole, like, Laker stuff that I cannot stand.
Well, I think
can't stand it.
I think the Laker brand did make both of those moves, though, because for whatever reason, teams make stupid trades with the Lakers. It's not the players necessarily every time forcing it. They do get free agents because of the Laker brand.
Sure. They get free agents because of LA.
But the Laker brand, for whatever reason, turns general managers, team presidents, and owners' brains to absolute mush. Mm. And they make the dumbest trades possible.
But the idea that, like, the draw of the Laker brand, no, it has nothing to do with that.
I'll tell you what.
Zero.
Vlade Divac, he loved to smoke cigarettes.
Vlade, he likes to party.
Mm-hmm. So North Carolina made sense.
Yeah,
Tobacco Road, and, you know, he's right next to, like, Winston.
Yeah.
Marlboro, like... It made sense, I guess.
I just saw that quote.
Maybe that was a draw for him.
It made me, like, crawl up a wall.
No.
I was like, shut up. No. We're not allowing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's zero truth. The whole, like, you know, the victors get to write history stuff. Sure. But you don't get to do that. Not that.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think, like, Luka's not mad that he's in L.A., though. I think he's mad that the Mavs did him dirty. But I think that he's probably like, if I'm going to get traded, playing with LeBron James, being in Los Angeles, playing for a storied franchise, I'm sure he's okay.
He wanted to be in Dallas his whole career.
Well, yeah, we know that, but I'm sure he's not upset at the place that he was traded to. If there was a place that, if you were to say, all right, Luka, we know you wanted to be in Dallas, where would you want to be traded to? I bet the Lakers would be one or two.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess maybe that's what she's trying to say.
Well, maybe, but I think it was more about city than anything else. Look, the Lakers didn't have anything. It's the reason the Lakers are good right now in the number two seed is because LeBron got re-energized and Luka's that good. Like, which is why the Mavericks, when he was healthy, were that good. It's has nothing to do with the Lakers at all.
Yeah.
That kind of thing drives
me crazy. Look, I hate the Lakers.
It just drove me up a wall.
You're speaking my language right now.
Like, this is, I can tolerate some BS.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to spin. But when you're spinning that much, you're spinning off the cliff. I can't get in.
Mm.
Just hard pass.
They don't deserve a victory lap for anything.
No, that is exactly it. No. Somebody was very dumb and dropped a possible top five player in your lap.
You know what we haven't we haven't dug into. Does Jeannie Buss have blackmail over Nico Harrison that forces? Because everybody's probably talking about Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison.
Mm.
Nobody's talking about Jeannie Buss maybe having some blackmail on.
I think it could go because
that's that is probably a. That's a really reasonable explanation for any of this if we're going tinfoil hat.
As far as conspiracy theories go, I think the more likely of all of them is that Nico Harrison was a sleeper agent.
You really love that sleeper agent.
It just makes too much sense. It just does. Like if you're gonna pluck one out of all of the conspiracies okay, that around that.
Hold on. Now, for those that don't know Danny's tinfoil hat theory, strap on. Let's go. It is that Nico Harrison, former Nike employee
mm-hmm. and very close confidant of Kobe Bryant and Rob Pelinka, who's Rob Pelinka was Kobe Bryant's agent,
is a sleeper agent for Nike
mm-hmm.
to
reignite the brand.
To reignite the brand of the Lakers?
No, of the profile. Did you see what
Nike?
Did you see what Nike and Jordan Brand did with Luka? They brought the Bugatti Veyron with the 77 out there.
I did.
I mean,
so it's a marketing ploy.
I look, man. There's no bigger stage in the NBA than Los Angeles. None.
Okay.
Not the Garden, nothing.
And so Nico Harrison worked his way up to GM, sat on him for a couple of years, got to the finals, and then was like, you know what? Now's the time. Mm. That's the working theory.
As insane as that sounds,
it does sound insane.
It makes more sense than trading him for the hell of it for Anthony Davis.
That's why I'm saying the blackmail. That's why I'm saying blackmail.
It's like, what?
Like, I think blackmail is in play too. I think, like, the more and more I'm thinking about it with the Adelsons raising ticket prices, I'm in on the other conspiracy that the Adelson family wants to just move the team to Vegas, so they're going to run it into the ground so they don't have any fans anymore. They've done a really good job of that.
Well, Major League style.
Yeah, I don't know how they tore Kyrie's ACL, but I'm open to any ideas. Sniper?
Voodoo? Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't be the first time a sniper in Dallas.
No. Nope.
But you also have, I mean, the AD injury, he just always gets hurt.
Yeah. But there's also a working theory that he came back too soon, and it is a connected injury to his previous injury.
No, did you see there is a theory on the Kyrie injury that maybe this is it.
Mm.
He was playing 39 and a half minutes per game mm-hmm. after Anthony Davis got hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he got injured.
Yeah. It's all insane.
Dang, man.
I have to bring this up for anybody that hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, sure.
I've told you my wife and I have been rewatching Daredevil. Well, I've been rewatching it. She's watching it mm-hmm. for the first time. The new season came out last night with two episodes. I can't remember a TV show that came out swinging harder than what they did last night.
I enjoyed that show.
Okay.
Did you watch it last night?
No, not last night. Okay. The first series, but yeah.
Brother.
I like Vincent D'Onofrio.
Brother, buckle in.
Yeah.
It was two thumbs, triple Ds, whatever you want to call it, man.
Mm.
Right out of the gate, it was like, oh, oh, this is what we're going to do.
And they brought back pretty much everybody, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and right. It's 7 years since the series ended. I believe it still has
7 years, and now they're rebooting it?
Yeah, so, well, the writer's strike. So it was going to come back like 3 years ago. So COVID and the writer's strike, there were so many different things.
Damn COVID.
That, particularly as it pertains to Marvel, mm-hmm. that got completely shelved or moved around. You know, what's his name got arrested and charged with assault. God, what was his name? Guy played King the Conqueror.
Johnny Depp.
God, what is his name?
Played who?
Jonathan Majors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Majors.
Yeah, he got wrapped up in all of that, and so they kind of had to change some tracks there, and then they did a bunch of rewrites.
I don't know I've already forgotten what Johnny Majors did.
He's a good actor.
I don't know who. Hold on, let me Google.
As soon as you see him, you'll know him.
Johnny Majors.
Jonathan.
Oh,
Johnny Majors sounds like a Marvel character, to be honest.
Jonathan Majors.
I used to get high with Johnny Majors.
He definitely sounds like a name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. The initial returns on the new Daredevil season through the first two episodes, IMDb's a 9.3.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty damn good. So.
Oh, Jeez.
Jonathan Majors?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he ended up being found innocent.
Assault and harassment of his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah. It ended up, I think he ended up being found innocent on a couple of things.
No, he was convicted.
Well, he's convicted of one other thing. It was presented as a, I believe originally was a more of a sexual thing, which obviously caught fire.
Yeah.
And it ended up kind of going another way. And basically, it ended up being two crazy people, both him and her. I was like, okay.
Jeez.
Yeah. When you actually start reading into it, it's not great, Bob. But yeah, it forced a lot of changes and rewrites and all this kind of stuff. And this original series, the series they brought in.
He knocked her out.
They completely rewrote everything after the writer's strike or during the writer's strike.
Yeah. Well, not during. They weren't writing anything. That's what they were striking.
Well, I think the bosses up top rewrote everything.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, it was incredible. Well worth your time.
Mm. All right. Daredevil. Yeah. So you give that triple D rating on the D's scale.
Loved it.
I'll give right now a running point. I'll give that double D's. It gives you some good cheap laughs, especially when you view it from the view of this is the Buss family. Because it just makes me feel a little bit better. It makes me feel a little bit better that way. If you're watching, disclaimer. Might be, quite possibly, some of the most unrealistic basketball.
Worse than that Netflix series, the quarterback that throws the ball like limp-armed?
I'm not going to lie. They've got a point guard on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Who is 5'8"?
No.
White.
White.
Tatted up and looks like he's on every steroid known to man.
Okay. Okay. I'm in. So Mac McClung in 5 years?
Gosh, way shorter. I was when I
so he looks like pocket, when I heard, pocket Darren Williams.
When I heard star player and saw him, I audibly laughed. Yeah, it was that bad.
I love it.
Yeah, so brace yourself for that. Don't watch it for the basketball. The jokes are pretty good though. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? NFL done got drunk, and Seattle is a big focal point of the goings on in the National Football League today. We'll get to that. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Seattle Seahawks overhauling the receiver room today. A flurry of moves across the NFL that we're going to dive into today, but it's a busy day for Seattle as a couple of moves that are going to impact the Hawks. And really, it's something that Seahawks fans have been familiar with for a really long time. Their team released Tyler Lockett today as an aging wide receiver. We knew that it was going to be near the end of his time, but in Seattle. But at the same time, one of the all-time great Seahawks receivers, he will finish second all-time in yards for Seahawks receivers, only behind Steve Largent, Tyler Lockett.
Receptions, yards, and touchdowns, yeah. All behind just Steve Largent.
And we were talking about this the other day. He doesn't even, air quotes, he doesn't even have 10,000 yards. So no. When we're talking about like that line of demarcation of like a 10,000-yard wide receiver, it really is a pretty important threshold when you're talking about all-time greats.
He was due a big bonus on March 16th. He was set to make $5.6 million, and he had a $17 million salary for this year, and so it just became time. And Tyler Lockett, I think one thing about Lockett that when he was drafted, it almost immediately started coming out that not just a really good player that Seattle was getting, but a guy who would fit their culture really well and was a really good person. He lived up to it and then some up in Seattle.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett he was a fan favorite.
An ambassador for the franchise.
Bought into the city figuratively and literally. I mean, he's a damn real estate agent up there now. And he's going to be okay. Made a lot of money playing for the Seahawks. I was looking at his listings of homes that he has sold up there. He's sold like a $4 million home.
Oh, he's not
1.5, 1.6, 1.2.
Little cottages?
No, he's doing okay for himself. Apparently, he's licensed here in Oregon as well. So be on the lookout for Tyler Lockett, maybe being your realtor.
I wonder what his cut is.
I don't know.
You think he's a low rate guy because he's working on the big houses, or is he a big rate guy because he is working on the big houses?
I don't know.
You ever seen that show? Was it Selling Sunset reality show?
Mm-mm.
You have a wife, so I just kind of imagine that that maybe pops up. My wife watched that, and like these realtors down there in the LA area, they sell basically two houses and they're set for the year.
Yeah.
Because their commission is like, 7% or something like that.
That'd be great.
On like 20 million.
Oh.
And you're like,
that's a lot of money.
Oh.
You'll make that cash. Make that cash. All right. Well, Tyler Lockett was the first move. An all-time great receiver and the system fit, culture fit. He was great. That was like the first blow. And then comes the big news.
Oh,
as
no.
Immediately after that, DK Metcalf requested a trade saying he wants to go and play for a contender. And so now two of really what was a three-headed monster of receivers for Seattle are now gone. Now you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's young, really damn good, had a breakout year this last year. And that really kind of was the messaging behind the Lockett move was, we found knew you, and he's really damn good in JSN. And now DK Metcalf saying wants to go to a contender, and the Seahawks are going to try to appease him, and he will be on the trade market. We'll see kind of how quickly this moves, because if they trade him post June 1, then the Seahawks, one, save more money against the cap this year and can smooth out his cap hit over the next two seasons. It'll be about $21 million cap hit that the Seahawks have regardless, but it can be $13 million and then $7 million if they do it post June 1. It'll be $21 million just in 2025 if they do it this year. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly Seattle moves. We know about all these designations that they put on a lot of the trades, but DK Metcalf, in all likelihood, will be traded sooner rather than later. And look, DK is a freak. For a guy who came into the league as not a polished route runner, and everybody's like, well, he can run straight, but can he
turn? Right. Can he make a left turn?
Yeah, he can do it, man. Yeah. He can do it.
Also, it doesn't matter because he's almost 6'5" and 230 pounds with a catch radius of a pterodactyl.
He's a monster. And, you know, we talk about this often with trades in the NFL. Some of them look a little bit different because if you're going to be assuming a large cap hit down the road, then you may not want to take a guy on, and you're going to get far less in value. Well, he's entering the final year of his deal, so we could see the Seahawks maybe get a quality haul for DK Metcalf if a team that gets him wants to re-sign him, give him an extension, and get some in return.
The flip side of this is, and while they're very different wide receivers, the wide receiver market is now flooded. DK Metcalf is out there. Christian Kirk is out there. Cooper Kupp is out there. There are, depending on kind of what you're looking for, there are quality, higher level veterans that are available to be. And this is kind of what we talked about over the last couple of years, Dusty. The wide receiver position has gotten so prolific and so good. And while it is fantastic to have Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson, you can get by with a bunch of really good wide receivers because you can go get them over and over and over again. They are in every draft, they are in every free agency, and they are available at every offseason.
There are guys that are different, though.
There are. There are 100% guys that are different.
Look at the teams that were in the Super Bowl this year, right? I mean, that was one of the big reasons why everybody said, all right, can Mahomes get over the hump without the elite receiver? The team that had an elite receiver who's getting paid like it in A.J. Brown and had Devontae Smith, that's the team that ended up routing in the Super Bowl. They also had Saquon Barkley. Really damn good.
Yeah.
But the elite receiver, they're really hard to find. And when you have an elite receiver, it takes up two sets of eyes. That's invaluable. You know, if you have a bunch of just dudes, you could play the team straight up.
Yeah.
Right? But when you have the elite guy, he forces a safety to roll over towards him. You got to have a corner whose eyes are on him. If you have a guy like Cooper Kupp, every linebacker on the second level has to be aware of where he is and his crossing route. And I think that's the interesting thing about this market right now is that you mentioned whether it's Christian Kirk or Cooper Kupp or DK Metcalf, you have three different receivers, totally different. It is a what are you looking for situation with all three of those guys. But I think in a year that is down in the draft for wide receiver, having those guys is going to be huge. And we'll see what teams bite, because there's a lot of teams that are needing of a receiver and maybe to push over the edge. The interesting part though for DK is he says he wants to go to a contender.
Who's the contender that has the space and needs a wide receiver?
I don't know.
Is he going to take no money and go to Kansas City?
Well, he can't because he's under contract. He'll be traded, so he can't take no money.
I'm talking about renegotiating a deal going forward. They won't be able to afford.
I don't. That would be a surprise if they're.
You understand what I'm saying?
But Buffalo may make sense.
But even though, aren't they up against it?
I think that. Oh boy!
Well, like, how much does he help out the Chargers?
Chargers would be a great one.
I guess apparently the wide receivers coach there, he is close with.
You know, I was looking at this. Somebody pointed, Ian Haritz. He put out this.
Yeah, the Bills are almost -10 in cap space.
he put this out that said, NFL ranks in supporting cast rating in terms of average team, Pro Football Focus, rush, receiving, pass blocking, run blocking grades. Basically everything except for your quarterback over the last five seasons. And it is jarring to see how low the Chargers are on this list.
Where they've been.
They are 29th in the NFL from 2020 to 2024 in all of the production of your supporting cast.
Yeesh.
29th. The
A big part of that probably is the injuries, even before they look, you know, Keenan Allen looking mildly washed.
The Steelers are 27th.
That's expected.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. And then you have teams like the Bengals that are really low because of the blocking aspect of this. Your offensive line has been dreadful.
Yeah, you're right.
And it should be no surprise to anybody, the Niners, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Packers go 1-5. They're 1-5.
Not surprising.
They're all really consistent and all really dang good. In the Falcons, were number one in the NFL this past year. So when you take in receiving grades, pass blocking grades, run blocking grades, the Falcons were number one. So all these guys need to be unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were number one this year. They've been ninth and then first in 2022 as well. They have their weapons. Their offensive line has been pretty good.
Their quarterback play has sucked.
Quarterback play has been dreadful. Coaching, not good either.
Yeah, Chargers got $65 million worth of space. It's different divisions or different conferences.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense for DK.
Yeah, but does he consider them a contender?
I mean, I think you'd have to at least look.
And I like,
otherwise, I mean, the other teams that you're looking at that have the necessary space to kind of get this stuff done, man, that doesn't really exist. I mean, no. Green Bay is probably the other one, which was kind of something we've heard about. But Green Bay is also a team that doesn't like to overpay.
But if you were to pair DK Metcalf with Ladd McConkey,
mm-hmm.
that one makes a heck of a lot more sense.
It does.
To have Ladd McConkey as your underneath guy, DK keeping teams honest over the top, then you don't have to go receiver in the first round. You can fill gaps in the first round.
Then you can get
another wide receiver further down in the draft and see where you're at. Chargers are that's a good one. That's a sneaky one. We'll see what they
stay on the West Coast, go to a different conference. I could see that working.
It's about the capital, though.
Yeah.
The capital is going to be interesting to see.
Well, and apparently, according to Jordan Schultz a few minutes ago, the Chargers were one team that quietly but aggressively pursued DK Metcalf in trade talks before the deadline.
Yeah, this text saying the Commanders have ridiculous cap space available, but they already got Debo Samuel. Yeah. They already have Terry McLaurin. They're going to be good.
Look,
they're good on the weapons.
That maybe it should have been the move that they made.
Yeah.
Was to go get DK? But, you know, they've got a general manager that's familiar with Debo, and that's the way they went.
All right. But it's interesting to consider the Seahawks a non-contender and then say the Chargers are a contender, thinking of that division, a team that hasn't gone to the playoffs. You know, like, what does DK consider a contender?
Yeah, because, like, if you're talking about contender, they're all capped out, man.
Yeah.
And for them to make moves, they're going to have to end up eating dead cap along with taking you in. It doesn't really work.
Well, if you look at the other moves that were made today, the cap might be a myth because the Eagles have re-signed Zach Braun to a three-year $51 million deal.
Nice little deal.
Dude, what the hell are they doing? Where are they finding this? And then the Raiders and Bears have been busy
spending money
over the last few hours. First is Russ with SportsCenter. New era is going to be starting in the wide receiver room in Seattle with Tyler Lockett being released and DK Metcalf requesting a trade. This is going to be wild to see what comes of the Seahawks receiver room.
The Njigba era.
Yeah, yeah. JSN had a hell of a year, but there's a flurry of other moves that happened around the NFL today that it just, you couldn't even keep up with them. And there's a lot that has kind of flown under the radar even. Like Jane Slater reported Dak Prescott has restructured his contract, and people have like not paid attention to that. And they're trying to open up a cap space in Dallas, conceivably to re-sign Micah Parsons or sign Micah Parsons to an extension that he's deserving of. But that's going to get a heck of a lot harder when you see what the Raiders ended up doing, because we now have a new highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Max Crosby, 3 years, $106 million payday, $91.5 million guaranteed.
It's good money if you can find it. Look, as resident Raider guy, I love Max Crosby. I want him to be a lifetime Raider the same way I wanted Khalil Mack to be a lifetime Raider.
Yeah.
It's nice to see this. Obviously, Max was not thrilled about Antonio Pierce being let go, but money heals all wounds in these cases. Do I think he is worthy of being the highest paid non-quarterback in the league? No. Do I think he's one of the three best defensive players in the league? Yes. I do think there is a level between him and Garrett and Watt.
Yeah,
which it's fun. Like we're splitting hairs, but it's like I think those two guys are just a teensy bit, little bit better. But I'm totally fine with this because pay him now. You're not paying anybody else. Have him be the anchor of what you're going to be, and move forward.
And Matthew Stafford said, "Yeah, nah, dog." So you have the room, you have the money to do it, and you're doing it early too. If you have the second highest salary cap space in the entire NFL, go ahead, do it now. And then you can move forward in the direction with trying to fill out the rest of your roster. They also went out and got Alex Kappa, who'd been recently released by the Cincinnati Bengals. So you're starting to see a little bit of progress with their offensive line and how they're going to rebuild an offensive line to be competent. They go interior with that O-line.
According to PFF last year, the offensive line actually wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It was.
Well, you watched them, you said they're not good.
Well, I think you had wide receivers that couldn't get open, quarterbacks that couldn't get rid of the ball fast enough, and running backs that couldn't really do anything outside of 3 yards.
Yeah, they had a lot of problems.
The skill position players were severely lacking, but across all of the grades, the Raiders, particularly in pass protection, great. I want to say they were top 10. If I remember right. Their running grades, I think they were like 17th, which obviously just outside of the top half of the league. Look, I want to see them improve there. Go improve all the other stuff, then go get the quarterback, because that's the way this is kind of lining up. But spending the money on Max, totally fine with it.
Yeah, and look, you're starting to see Pete Carroll's imprint on what he wants to do with this team and where the focal point's going to be. And Max Crosby being a guy that they're going anti-Mavericks. Mm-hmm. You have a guy that actually wants to be there. Mm-hmm. Keep him there.
Keep him there.
And he will be a lifer with the Raiders. And
he looks like a Raider.
That's a lot of money, man.
It is a lot of money.
It is. And it kind of screws over some other teams, too, because Micah Parsons now is going,
I like that deal.
I'm going to want that money. Mm-hmm. And everybody else, it raises the price tag for everybody else when on their edge rusher. And obviously, it's going to be a trickle-down effect, and we'll see kind of what happens with that market, mm-hmm. because the Saquon deal, we had the highest-paid running back in NFL history with Saquon Barkley getting $20 million. Now we have the highest non-paid quarterback in Max Crosby. With the cap going up as much as it did, and you have guys like these, the guys who are going to be resetting the market are not going to necessarily be the free agents that are out. It's going to be the extensions that are made. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at what smart teams do, like Howie Roseman and in Philadelphia, they extend guys before, one, it gets contentious, and two, they're up. So you push that money out, and you restructure, and you move things down the road. That is what you're doing with Max Crosby. It's a smart move when you have the second highest cap space, and you're going to have a lot of cap space again next year because they're not paying anybody outside of Max
Lock
Crosby.
In one of the three best defensive players on the planet. Is he maybe getting a little bit more? Probably, but that's the way this stuff goes.
You're the Raiders. You have to overpay.
Yeah, no, especially right now, where in the past you didn't because you were a successful franchise. You haven't been one for 25 years.
No. No, it's been a really long time. But then you also have a few other moves. The Bears are very active right now. They go out and they trade a fourth round pick to Kansas City for Joe Tooney.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big move for Chicago, because yesterday they go out and they spun a sixth round pick and they got Jackson from the Rams. Mm-hmm. So they go and they say, all right, our interior offensive line has been hot garbage.
Yep.
How are we going to improve that? You go out and you trade for two interior offensive linemen, and you're now going to give
the
middle a little bit of support to Caleb Williams, and you need it desperately.
No, I love both those moves. And I think when you're talking about, this was the thing. We talked about Ben Johnson coming to Chicago. What are the toys that he had in Detroit? Yeah, he had skill position guys, but he also probably had the best offensive line in football. And it wasn't just how great they were. It was how they could be deployed. You've got Ragnow. You've got Panay. You've got these guys that are very unique, great at what they do. Tooney's a guy that, you know, is certainly better at guard. But he's a guy that's versatile enough that if your tackle gets hurt, you can move him outside for a short period of time.
Yeah,
and have him be functional there. So you get some more utility. You just get better overall. You add Jackson to reinforce the other side. Now all of a sudden you can start doing some things because your offensive line is functional enough to give your young quarterback some time and to let those skill position guys be more productive.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. We're still with the Bears, you know?
Oh, for sure.
The Bears.
You know, you said something earlier as it pertains to the Raiders and bringing in Kappa and kind of doing the Pete Carroll thing. There's something that's kind of been on my mind. Would it be crazy to you if the Raiders thought that Ashton Gentry was the best player on the board, and because their running back room is so bad that they took him at that spot?
Yeah, it would be.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's just something I've heard some
at
people.
Six?
It's high. It is high.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Right?
I think they'd be high doing that.
That would be crazy. And he's a really good player, mm-hmm. but I mean, you can trade down, get more assets and be in a better spot.
Yep.
You know, you still don't have a quarterback, so what are teams going to do? You still don't have any receivers outside of Brock Bowers. Teams are just going to load the box and absolutely hammer him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having a running back would be nice. Mm-hmm. But
and again, this is not something I would want to do. I've seen a few people say that, you know, the Raiders like Genty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's interesting.
But are you going to be able to, and look, Pete Carroll loves defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where they're going to start honing in and saying, where do we get better? Can we get better on the defensive side of the football?
They re-signed their safety. They re-signed Crosby. You know, they're going to try and probably reinforce that with a linebacker spot as well.
And so is Mason Graham available at six?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go...
Big ol' anchor.
You go Mason Graham. Is, you know, I don't know, is Simmons the tackle from Ohio State, mm-hmm. or is Campbell the tackle from LSU there? You may say, all right, we need to be better on the offensive line
trenches
still, even
in
though
general.
We've been... you know, improving there. Do they go edge and get, you know, the second best edge rusher if Abdul Carter goes number one overall? You know, like, you got a lot of more holes than just running back to fill.
Oh, yeah, no. I completely agree.
I think it would be crazy because you ain't got anybody to keep a defense honest right now, and that's going to be a really important part for their offense moving forward. But then again, you have Chip. You have Chip Kelly, so... maybe.
That's what I mean.
Maybe
they're going to be one of the more interesting teams around the draft, in my opinion, because of the new coach, because of the addition of Chip Kelly and just kind of the different ways they can go.
Yeah, it will be fascinating. The Bears are too, though.
Yes.
I think the Bears may be more interesting because they do have the new coach. They already have the quarterback. They have a receiver. Their running back room is not... Now, that is a team that I could see going... They go and get Ashton Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he falls to 10, very likely, yeah, you go and you draft Ashton Gentry because that alleviates a ton for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And you've already found ways to bolster your offensive line with two trades, getting Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson over the last 2 days for a sixth round pick and a fourth round pick.
That's pretty good business.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good business.
I think that may
it
be
it also
the
puts the Chiefs in a bit of a bind too. Losing Tooney is not it's not an easy thing to just replace.
They need to improve their offensive line. And I think that signals more. They know they need to improve the offensive line.
It also needs to be cheaper.
And it needs to be improved with Joe Tooney, who played really well, and they moved him out to tackle, got exposed in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes.
Got exposed.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing that Eagles front, it's going
to
happen.
And they got Zach Braun to a three-year, $51 million deal, the Eagles did. Howie Roseman turned over the couch cushions, $34 million guaranteed, and they're going to keep Braun, which it felt like that was going to be the farewell for him in Seattle or in Philadelphia. But tis not. It is not. Busy day in the NFL. Busy day in the NFL.
There's going to be more coming.
Super Bowl is not even a month in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And we are already, it's like
shift.
Back at it.
Yep.
Combine in the rearview mirror. Free agency starts next week. But here we are, a Wednesday in early March, and
it's taking over again. It's the pre-free agency prep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one when you talk, though, about which teams are going to be the most intriguing come draft time,
mm-hmm.
because there's no shortage of candidates. You bring up the Raiders, and that is a great point. I think the Bears are right there. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers, another team that we've talked about already, they are fascinating.
And what they do, trade versus free agency heading into the draft. There's a handful of teams that can go a lot of different ways.
I also think one team that is going to be fun to follow is the 49ers, who are sitting with the 11th pick,
mm-hmm.
and they are a big transition. Mm-hmm. One thing John Lynch has done a really good job of is hitting in the draft. Where do they go? What direction do they move in? Because they've got a really high pick, and it's a team that kind of needs more assets, so they could even find themselves trading back and picking up multiple picks and assets along the way.
As long as they don't cycle into a Trey Lance here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Outside of that, they've been really good in the draft.
Nails.
That was such a dumb, mm-hmm. dumb pick.
Very.
All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. Got a lot of feedback from y'all coming in on the Fan text line. And more NFL news still coming in. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right. A lot of NFL movement happening. Golly, do you see that there is a new betting odds out on who the Giants will trade for?
No.
Yeah. The New York Giants are now the favorite to trade for Kyler Murray, according to Bovada.
Okay.
Right?
Two organizations.
Yeah.
Completely defunct.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyler Murray has been like flagging that he's not going to be a part of that team for 2.5 years.
Well, there is, and look, there's a little bit of smoke that has popped up, and you never know kind of where any of this lands. But remember, they signed him to a 5-year, $230 million deal in 2022.
Which everybody at the time went, why?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always been close, but just not good enough ever for him to like get over the hump or turn a corner. And so now you're starting to see there's more rumblings of, all right, are the Cardinals ready to move on? Is Kyler ready to move on?
Would you really, if you're the Giants,
quarterback needy teams,
would you give up that first round pick for Kyler freaking Murray? I wouldn't.
No,
he's not good enough. Like, if he was good enough, the Cardinals probably wouldn't trade him, but the whole point of like having a young quarterback is, yeah, they're going to need to work through some stuff, but they're cheap. Kyler Murray is neither good enough nor cheap enough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't get that.
That's a good point.
Which is why it makes sense for the Giants.
But if they, all right, so go through Kyler Murray, right? He's been through a litany of offensive coordinators and head coaches, right? He's got a defensive-minded head coach now in Jonathan Gannon. I think his deal is actually kind of de-escalating now at this point. Let me check his contract really quick. And then it can be, all right, is it trade worthy? Because that's gonna be the big one with a guy like Kyler Murray. Cap hit is enormous. $43 million.
Yeah,
let's see. He's got a base salary of $18 million.
Okay.
Cap hit of 43. cap hit of 53 and then 43 over the next handful of years. Your next out is after the 2027 season with Kyler Murray after he turns 30. And then you have a club option that 2028 season. Boy. Okay, flip it this way then. Would you feel more comfortable with trading for Kyler Murray? And not the first round pick. You're not giving up the third overall pick. You're going to have to give something different with Kyler Murray. You'd probably trade maybe next year's first. If you can swing that one. But would you feel more comfortable with Kyler Murray or Shedeur Sanders? Because Cam Ward ain't going to be there.
I think that the supposition here is that they would try to move up to one to get Cam.
Well, duh.
I think those are probably your two choices if you're the Giants.
But
do you give up capital to get Cam, or do you give up capital to get Kyler?
But that's the thing. That's why I asked the question, yeah. Shedeur or Kyler Murray, because this is, you don't get number one, and you don't trade up to get one. Do you sit there at three, and do you take Shedeur Sanders? Would you feel more comfortable with Shedeur Sanders or Kyler Murray? Because you've seen that Kyler Murray can do it.
That's like having the gun to your head and asking what caliber. It's just...
I'd probably go with Kyler Murray.
I would. I don't like it. Definitely don't like it.
I mean, I don't know. Dave Gettleman should be fired.
I just think about Kyler Murray in New York. He's got no eyes on him and no pressure and nothing to deal with in Arizona, and he's already a basket case. And you're going to put him in New York with no offensive line and no weapons outside of Malik Nabers?
I mean, Malik Nabers is a pretty good weapon.
He is, but you've got nothing else.
You've got Daboll. Who is a good play coach. Caller.
Good coach. But I just, man, that just seems like, that screams desperation.
Yeah, we're talking about the New York Giants, Danny. I don't know.
Which is what they do, but I just.
Well, and here's the other thing.
That's not a functional organization for me.
Not right now.
Not even the Giants, but like, if you're operating out of desperation like that, and those are the two paths that you can take, just stop on the path. You're on the wrong path.
And do what? I mean, what are you going to do at quarterback?
Get a patchwork quarterback and start doing everything else everywhere else. You aren't anywhere.
They've already tried that, though. And that's the point. That's where they're at right now. Is that, okay, when you've already tried to do that, what are you going to
be better?
You're
going to
roll Tommy
that?
DeVito back out there?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to do that for another year because guess who's going to say, get my ass out of here? Malik Nabers is going to do that. Like, that's the hard part that they are in right now is that they've already tried the stopgap quarterback. It's not working. And you tried to draft Daniel Jones and hitch your wagon to him, and you had to run him out of town. Do you go and you sign Aaron Rodgers?
I would rather go down that path.
Because, look, the reality is, probably, if the Raiders somehow come out of play for Aaron Rodgers, where does he go?
Yeah, there's only so many landing spots.
That's it.
I mean,
it's New York,
Tennessee.
Is it? Is it though? Like, probably no, not. They're going to get Cam Ward. I mean,
yeah. So, yeah. If you're asking them what they would rather do, it's probably Cam Ward.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. So, yeah, I don't.
It's a hellscape to be in.
And that's where, like, sometimes you just need to plug your nose and go through it, man.
Yep. But Kyler Murray would be a guy who's
sells tickets and
competent enough to win you games.
I hate being competent in the NFL. I hate the whole idea of just
haven't
being,
you had a quarter of a century of incompetent?
Yeah, and I'd rather I'd rather have
you're getting there now. You're getting back to competence.
Yeah, like working your way to competency, yeah. And not overpaying and expending assets to get to competency. Like when we talk about purgatory across sports, that's where that is to me.
Mm-hmm.
is when you're overpaying and overextending over and over and over again, and all it ever gets you is maybe relevant, maybe competent. And that's just it. That's not how functional or good organizations are run across sports.
All right. Should we be mad at Neil O'Shea for this next on The Fan?
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.